You know, we really live in a world that's full of competing beliefs and values and choices. And what you believe shapes how you live and ultimately who you become. But the good news is, God hasn't left us to figure it all out alone. No. In fact, today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we're going to continue our series, Reframing Your Worldview, where Rick Warren unpacks powerful truths from God's Word to help you see life clearly and live it with confidence and purpose. And now let's get to Rick with part two of a message called, How Should I Live in This World?
The third key to living like Jesus is humility. There's discernibility, there's integrity, and there's humility. Now again, humility is another word that's totally misunderstood. A lot of people think humility is saying, oh, I'm no good, I'm nothing, I'm just a bunch of junk. Jesus didn't die for junk. You want to know how valuable you are? Look at the cross. With arms outstretched, Jesus says this much. This is how valuable you are. So you're not junk. And when you go around saying, oh, I'm nothing, you poo-poo yourself, that's actually a form of false humility, which is really a form of pride. It's insecurity that says, I want you to notice me, so I'm going to tell you how lousy I am. Humility is not false modesty. Humility is not being quiet and reserved. Humility is not denying your strengths. In a word, humility is dependence. You might write that down. Humility is dependence upon God. And the more humble you are, the more you depend on God and the less you depend on yourself. That's what humility is all about. That's why the very first beatitude, in the very first sermon, the famous Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preaches, the first sentence goes like this. Blessed are, in other words, blessed are, God likes to bless the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? It means you're humble. Poor in spirit means, God, I admit, I don't have it on my own. If I'm going to make it in life, I need you. God, I'll never accomplish what you want me to accomplish. I'll never reach my dreams. I'll never be the woman or the man you want me to be unless you help me out, God. That's poor in spirit. That's being humble. It's saying, God, I can't do it on my own. And the Bible says this. Jesus said it. God blesses those who realize their need for him. That's humility. It's depending on God every second. Now, why is humility so important? Because without it is the reason you have so much stress in your life. The reason why you have, well, you follow me on this, I'm going to have to explain it to you. The reason why you get stressed out is a lack of humility. What do you mean by that, Rick? Well, the two greatest causes of stress are these. Number one, the number one cause of stress is trying to control the uncontrollable. Trying to control things that you can't control gets you stressed out. It gets you worried. Now, the truth is, most of your life is out of your control. You can control your attitude, you can control your response, but you can't control what's going to happen to you next week. You have no control over what's going to happen to you the rest of your life. Those circumstances are beyond your control. And so you get stressed out. The more you need to control, the more stressed you get. Now, the need to control is an evidence of insecurity. When you see somebody who has a high need to control, it means one thing. They have high insecurity. The more insecure a person is, the more they try to control everything because they're so afraid. They don't want you to know they're afraid, but they're trying to control it so they don't have to be afraid. The more confident you are, the more relaxed you are. You hold things with an open hand. You say, here, you know. Your confidence is not based on having to control everything. And so you get stressed because you try to control the uncontrollable. The second great source of stress is a lack of trust in God. And whenever you don't trust God, your stress goes up, your worry goes up, your anxiety goes up, and your peace of mind goes in the toilet. It just falls apart. So you're depending on yourself instead of depending on God. What is the antidote to stress? The antidote to stress is humility. And a good definition of it is this next verse. Matthew 11, 29, Jesus says this. Come to me, all you who are weary, burdened, in other words, burned out, and I will give you a whole lot more work to do. Well, that's not what it says, is it? It says, come to me when you're stressed out and I will give you what? Rest. Yeah, rest. That's a good one. I like that word. Then he says, take my yoke upon you. Now, he's not talking about an egg yoke. He's talking about one of those things where you attach two horses together to pull a cart or two cattle together to pull the wagon. Why? What's the purpose of a cart or a yoke? To have the burden. In other words, now instead of one horse pulling the cart, you got two because they're yoked together. Or instead of one cow pulling the wagon, you got two cattle pulling, the covered wagon. So the purpose of a yoke is to make the load lighter. That's the purpose of a yoke. God never meant for you to go all through life pulling things on your own, pulling the burden of your life all by yourself. That's why you're tired all the time. Because you're trying to solve all your problems by yourself. God's never meant for that. Jesus says, hey, yoke up with me. Put my yoke on you, and we'll pull your load together. Now, he's got a lot more strength than you do. Now, here's the thing about it. When you pull the yoke together, you have to go at the same pace Jesus goes. If you got two cattle yoked together, one can't go faster than the other. One can't go one direction, another the other. When you are pulling the load of your life all by yourself, you have a tendency to go too fast. You have a tendency to go in the wrong direction. And you have a tendency to pull it off in a ditch. Some of you have been there several times. When you are yoked to Jesus, then he's pulling it with you. It's lighter. He's going to go just the right pace because he knows the pace better than you do. He's going to keep you in the right direction, and there's no way he's going to let you go off in a ditch. So he says this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, you're worn out, you're tired, you're stressed, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle, and here it is, humble in heart. And what does that humility produce? You will find rest for your souls. Now, if you're stressed out tonight, the answer to your stress are the three things in that verse. And here they are. Come to Christ, give up control, learn to rest, learn to trust. That's it. That's the antidote to stress. Come to Christ, give up control, learn to trust. So you may have to do that 50 times a day. God, I'm bringing this problem to you. Jesus, I'm bringing this problem to you. And I'm going to give up control of it. I'm not going to worry about it. But I'm going to trust in you. And you do that and your stress level goes down. Now, coming to Christ and giving up control and learning to trust, there's another word for that. Humility. That's real humility. So to live like Jesus means I live with discernibility, I live with integrity, and I live with humility. Here's the fourth one, and it's another big one. Live with simplicity. Jesus obviously lived a very simple life. He lived a life of simplicity, and that lowers your stress too. But today, life has gotten more and more complex and is getting more so. Everybody agree with that? It's getting more and more complex. And not only that, you got more stuff than you've ever had before. And when the more stuff you have, the more you have to care for it, the more you have to clean it, the more you have to protect it, the more you have to insure it, the more you have to repair it. And the more stuff you've got, the more it dominates your life. My guess is you probably have more stuff than your parents did. It's just getting more and more every day. And so you know, today we have an entire industry that we didn't even have 50 years ago. It's called personal storage units. It's like you don't even have enough room in your house anymore. So you have to go put it in a storage unit and you pay rent to hold all your stuff. The comedian George Carlin says it like this. You know, all you need in life is a little place for your stuff. Everybody's got a little stuff. This is my stuff. That's your stuff. Over there's his stuff. Now, that's all a house is. It's just a place to keep your stuff. Now, if you didn't have so much stuff, you wouldn't need a house. You'd just walk around all the time. But you got to have a house to have a place for your stuff. A house is just a pile of stuff with a cover on it. Now, you can see that when you're taking off in an airplane. You look down, you see everybody's got their own little pile of stuff with a roof on it. Now, of course, when you leave your house, you got to lock it because you wouldn't want anybody taking your stuff because they always take the good stuff. Okay. They never bother with the worthless stuff. Oh, no. They just take the good stuff. So when they take all your good stuff, you have to go out and buy more stuff and more stuff. And sometimes you have to go get a bigger house. Why? No room for your stuff anymore. Got to get a bigger house. You ever notice that when you go to somebody else's house, you never feel quite at home? He says, you know why? Because there's no room for your stuff. Somebody else's stuff is all over the place. No place for your stuff. And if you stay overnight at their house, they give you a little bedroom they haven't used in 11 years. Somebody died in it, but they haven't moved out any of his stuff. Now, there's usually a dresser in the room of some kind, but it's worthless because there's no room for your stuff because it's still got his stuff on it. Now, sometimes you go on vacation, so you got to take some of your stuff with you. That's two big suitcases full of stuff. It's a smaller version of your house. So you get back to your hotel, you get to your hotel room in Honolulu, and you open up your suitcase and you put away all your stuff. Put a little stuff here, little stuff there, little over there. Honey, you can put your stuff in there. And then even though you're far away from home, you start to feel okay because after all, you have some of your stuff with you. Look at what the Bible says. Jesus said in Matthew 12:15, be on your guard. By the way, that's one of those watch out verses. Watch out. Guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his stuff, his possessions. You know, this is an anti-American message in many ways. It's counterculture because everything in our society says it's all about the stuff. It's all about getting more. That the whole purpose of life is simply the acquisition of things. And then Jesus said, wait a minute. A man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things you possess. It's the exact opposite of what our culture teaches. Our culture teaches he who dies with the most toys still dies. Still dies. And somebody rich will die and they'll say, man, I wonder how much he left. I'll tell you, he left it all. All of it, 100%. Didn't take any of it with him. It wasn't yours before you were born. It's not going to be yours after you die. You just get to use this little bit of stuff for 60 or 80 years, and then you pass it on. And a lot of people think the whole purpose in life is just to collect stuff. That's stupid. Because it's all going to burn up. None of it's going to last. It isn't going to last for a long time. And in America, we are possessed by our possessions. What do you mean by that? I mean, I know people who use all their time, all their energy, all their effort, all their talent, all their leisure, just to get more things. And so what they do is they go out and they buy a house bigger than they really can afford, and they buy a car they don't really need, and then they have to hustle and hoof it and overextend themselves and work themselves to death just so they can have things. And they give up time for things. That's dumb. Because your life is not about things. Your life is about time. And when you waste it and you use it to get things, you're never getting that time back. You're giving up what you cannot keep for something else that is worthless. And so you don't want to give up time for things. Yeah, you can go out and work real hard, and then all of a sudden you can go buy that beautiful vase. But look what you've just lost in your life in order to get that vase. And once you get it, you said, you got to insure it, make sure it's not broken, and make sure somebody dusts it and all these things. And you begin to be possessed by your possessions. And people work just to get wealth. And they spend the first half of their life sacrificing their health to get wealth. And then they spend the second half of their life using their wealth to get health. That's dumb. That's just dumb. But do you see how counterculture this is? Everything in society says the purpose of life is to work hard so you can get more and more and more and more things. But you can, all those things you're not taking with you, and none of those things are going to keep you happy. Because you're going to get a car, then you're going to get bored with it, and you're going to want another one, etc., etc. So people, I'm telling you, never sacrifice time for things. Your time is far more important than your money. You can always get more money, but you can't get more time. You've only got a certain amount allotted on this planet. Now, the Bible says this. Jesus said it. He says in Matthew 16, how do you benefit if you gain the whole world, you know, of stuff, but you lose your soul in the process? I've known a lot of businessmen who did that. Is anything worth more than your soul? The answer is, of course not. Is anything worth more than your health? No. Is anything worth more than losing your family? You know, thing? No. There is no thing worth more than those relationships. So he says, learn to live with simplicity. I'll just say it this way. If you have something, a possession, that God told you to give it away, and you can't give it away, you don't own it. It owns you. If you could not give it away, you don't own it. It owns you. It's all going to vanish anyway, so why store it up? Now here's the fifth key to living the way Jesus lived. I live with discernibility. I live with integrity. I live with humility. I live with simplicity. And then I live with possibility. I see the possibilities because I have faith. This is the faith factor in living. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. The Bible says according to your faith, it will be done unto you. And so God says, when you come to me and you believe in me, oh, the possibilities expand in enormous ways. Look at this verse. Matthew 19, 26, Jesus says, with God, everything is possible. Well, I can figure that. He created it all. But the next one's the mind blower. Mark 9, 23, everything is possible to him who believes. Now, that's a different issue. I believe that of all the people on planet Earth, believers, Christians, followers of Jesus should be the most innovative people on the planet and should be the most creative people on the planet. Why? Because we serve a God who says all things are possible. Actually, the most narrow-minded people I know are people who don't believe in God. Why? Because their possibilities are limited just by these certain things. But when I put my faith in God, all things are possible. It expands my horizon. I can be much more creative, and I can be much more innovative. Do you know what the greatest sin is? It's not the one you're thinking of. The greatest sin is unbelief. Unbelief. It is not trusting the God who made me. He made everything on the planet. He made everything in the universe. Everything I have, I owe to him. It all came from God. I wouldn't have anything, not even my life, if it weren't for him. Why would I not trust him? When I have unbelief, it limits my life. Now listen to this. The more you believe God, the more you trust God, the more limitless your possibilities become. The more possibilities for your life, the more possibilities for your family, the more possibilities for your career, the more you trust God. I've said many times that hell would be if God showed me what I could have accomplished in life if I just believed him a little bit more. That, to me, would be hell. I missed that. Yeah, because you just didn't trust me. You just didn't believe me. So let me ask you three very personal questions. Number one, in what area or areas of your life are you limiting God by your unbelief? God wants to bless you, but you're limiting because you won't do it His way. Your finances, your relationships, your career. So yeah, I know God says to do such and such, but I don't really think He knows what's best. I'm going to do what I want to do. Every time you doubt God, you limit yourself. Question number two. What needs changing in your life? What do you need to change in your life? What would you like to change in your family? What would you like to change in your relationships or in the world? I want to change five major problems. We call them the global Goliaths. Spiritual emptiness, egocentric leadership, poverty, pandemic diseases, illiteracy. Those are giant problems. But with God, all things are possible. What would you like to change? Third question, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting for? You're not waiting for God. He's waiting for you. Friends, these are the greatest days to be alive. We live in an unbelievable time. And God has put you in a world-class church, a church that is literally changing the world, affecting hundreds of thousands of church leaders in 162 countries. And God, of all people, brought you here to be a part of it. Why? Not so you can sit and watch history, so you can be a part of it. We are making a difference. This is no time for discouragement. It's time to get going.
You know, people are being transformed by these messages. In fact, here's Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, no matter how bad things seem, you can always trust that God is active in your life, working things out for the good. While you are waiting, God is working. God always has your best interests at heart. He's a good God. Today, I want to give you an example from a note that I got from a young man named Tyler, who has seen how God is always there, even when circumstances seem to be their worst. Tyler wrote me, he said, "You know, Rick, I haven't had a close relationship with Christ, but then several events occurred in my life all at once. First, my girlfriend broke up with me, and that was the biggest heartache that I could imagine for both of us. Then, my friends left for college the same week. And third, my dad left for California to start a new job, leaving me in Ohio. All of this hit me at once, and I was a complete mess. But with guidance from others and realizing this was a scheduled appointment from God Himself, I found Christ through your Daily Hope podcast. And through prayer and in going to church, I finally found the joy in my life again. And I'm a changed person. Every day now, I listen to you, Rick, and I read my daily devotional, and I look at life with a whole new perspective. You know, before I was living for me, I wasn't living for God. But this journey has been so amazing. God is so good. And the best part is that I can wake up every day knowing that He loves me and will listen to me and that Jesus Christ will take my worries from me. I'm so thankful, Rick, that God woke me up and changed me into a better and healthier person that I am today. And I'm thankful for my Savior, Jesus Christ. So God bless you." Well, thanks, Tyler. Thanks for writing that encouraging letter. You have experienced firsthand how much God cares for you, even in the smallest details of your life. And through this, what was a very difficult season, He led you to Jesus, the greatest gift you could ever receive. So did you know that the Bible says in Luke 15, right now all of heaven is rejoicing because you're a part of God's family? The Bible says they have a party in heaven every time one person steps across the line. And what that means is that you and I are now brothers. Did you know that? We're brothers in Christ. And your church family are your brothers and sisters here to walk alongside you. So, Tyler, welcome to the family of God. And as you grow in your faith, staying connected with a strong church community is so, so important. I want you to surround yourself with people who will encourage you in the Lord, who will pray for you, who will help you stay strong in your journey with Jesus. And just watch and see how God moves in your life as you faithfully follow him into your future. By the way, you also mentioned that you listen to the Daily Hope podcast. For anybody who hasn't checked that out yet, it is completely free. It's completely available on all major platforms. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's on Spotify. It's on wherever you get your podcast. You can also listen anytime by just going to PastorRick.com on the internet. Now, friends, we're able to share Daily Hope with people around the world because of your generosity, listeners just like you. So let me just say here, thanks. Thanks a lot. Thanks for being a part of this community. Thanks for your contributions to care for other people so that they could get the Word of God and build the hope that they need. And they can keep seeking God, and He will guide them. God bless you.
Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.